Welcome to the second meeting of May, 2026, for the city of Fredericksburg. Good to have you here. I see a good crowd on the occasion of swearing in some new members. Would you please stand for the invocation and remain standing for the pledges? Jimmy Pruitt, Jimmy, you're here. Good. Welcome, Jimmy, pastor of Bridge Church. As I begin, I just want to recall that Dr. Benjamin Franklin was the oldest representative at the Constitutional Convention in June of 1787. The colonies were in turmoil and great disarray. Tension filled the air as the representatives met together to find a way to solidify the terms of forming the Union. Dr. Franklin was 80 years old and had been mostly silent through the prior days of divisive and contentious deliberations on how to unify our nation on the heels of the Revolution. George Washington was presiding over the meeting and gave the floor to Dr. Franklin. He stood and he said, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this. I therefore beg leave to move the henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business." Let's pray together. Father, it is a privilege and an honor to be here with our community on the precipice of a new season. We thank you for Mayor Moore, Mayor Hoover, and how he has literally served our community through the years. We bless him as he takes a step into the next season. And Father, we pray for Randy Briley as he is sworn in today, again marking a new beginning and a new season. And a new beginning in this building, in this place, Father, so many new things. But Father, we want to honor you first and invite you and invoke your presence in this place to preside over this meeting, to preside over the deliberations, to preside over the swearing in and the blessing and honoring of Mayor Hoover. Father, we honor you and welcome you into this place. And we ask, Lord, that you would literally fill this place with your presence. And Father, as we do our business as a community, we want to consecrate all this to you. We do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Out on the Texas flag, I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Somebody is going to have to take Annette Bennett's place if she's not going to come back and be the yeehaw after the honor, the Texas flag. We have ceremonial matters to begin the meeting today. First of all is the recognition of service to the city of Fredericksburg, so I will come down front to make that possible. Bobby, if you'll join.
I'm going to assume I can be heard in the room.
Me too.
Do I need to do that for the record?
Check, check, 1, 2. Mic check, 1, 2. Okay. So these are presentational awards to sit on the shelf. This one is to Emily Kirchner. Emily was elected to the council in 2022. Isn't that nice? City Council Member, Mayor Pro Tem, for your dedicated service to the city of Fredericksburg, and then the dates, May 7, 2022 through May 19, 2026. Emily is not here today, so Councilman Bobby Watson will accept this on her behalf. Thank you, Bobby.
I have the honor of awarding Gerald Hoover a similar plaque. It says, in recognition of Gerald Hoover, Mayor, for your dedicated service to the city of Fredericksburg 2006 through 2010, 2012 through 2014, and 2022 through 2026.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Very, very kind of you. It will always be my pleasure with my grandchildren and hopefully generations to come. My name is on a plaque on the bridge over there on the way to the combat zone. And to always say that I had the privilege of being elected four times to serve five terms as the mayor of this absolutely wonderful, extraordinary, unique city. Not only because of the heritage, but because of the people who have always been drawn here. So thank you for the privilege. I look forward to what's in the future from afar. I have some presentations now to make. Is this where I do the new people? Okay, so Judge Becker, is this time for the... Let me see here. Presentation. Okay. Do you have the certificates, or do they? But that's after they were sworn in, right? Okay. So, Judge Becker, if you will. So, shall we do Gary and Tony first? Okay.
If you wouldn't mind, so we're on the record.
Not a problem. Tony and Gary.
Y'all come down here and pledge to the Constitution and serve to the city.
All right, and Tony, I will start with you. If you can please raise your right hand. Do you, Tony Klein, solemnly swear that you will faithfully execute the duties of the office of council member for the city of Fredericksburg of the state of Texas and will, to the best of your ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of this state, so help you God?
Amen.
All right, thank you, sir. Do you, Gary Neffendorf, solemnly swear that you will faithfully execute the duties of the office of council member for the city of Fredericksburg of the state of Texas and will, to the best of your ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States and of this state, so help you God? Right.
Y'all hang here for a picture. Congratulations.
Do you, Randy Briley, solemnly swear that you will faithfully execute the duties of the office of mayor for the city of Fredericksburg of the state of Texas and will, to the best of your ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of this state, so help you God? All right. Congratulations.
And for the record, I just want to make mention that I have already administered the official statement of elected officer and oath of office, so this was ceremonial in nature. Thank you.
So y'all want to take your places at the dais?
Yes. Sir.
This is yours.
Yes.
Okay.
Maria,
you're next.
I see. All right, well, good morning. So we'll start off with council comments. We typically start from the left, so Councilman Neffendorf, do you have any comments? Make sure your mic's on.
Your mic. I didn't get the training set. I had the privilege of being city manager when Gerald Hoover was elected in 2006, so I just wanted to thank him and congratulate Brandy and Tony, and thanks to everyone who voted.
Thank you, Gary. I served with Gerald, I guess, the last 4 years, and I admire him. He's done a great job for the city. He's always considered the city, so I thank, and although he is a little younger than me, I still look up to him as a leader, and I appreciate what he's done. I did attend a Market Square redevelopment meeting. We had an update on the considering the discussion of a Harmony Park, which is would be some instruments that apparently are placed on the square. We discussed it. We're talking about maybe four items, and apparently they can be played with by children or adults, but that's something that's in the works. It's going to be coming down the road. It won't affect the sounds of Market Plots, but it'll be something for kids to play with. We had an update on the Glockenspiel. It's getting there. They've started ordering items for that. So hopefully soon they've chosen a builder, which is Decker Construction out of Stonewall, the local, and they will be building the Glockenspiel when the time comes. Also attended the commissioner's court. They did a few items. One was particular. They're doing another airport development agreement with Plain Garage Guys LLC, Tiger and Taurus LLC, and it'll be the Lady Bird Jet. Probably won't be happening for another year, but they've approved a lease for them to build another hangar. The extension of the A&M systems for the lease of the property for the county airport was approved and will be extended for another year, and that's where they've done some testing. They've had that site for some time now. And I think that's pretty much the major items that was done at Commissioner's Court. Again, I want to thank everybody for the vote and support. Thank you.
Good morning. Since our last meeting, Bobby and I interviewed five candidates for city attorney over 2 days. On the 13th, I attended the Chamber State of the Burg. Also on the 13th, I attended a update from the Community Foundation of the Texas Hill Country. They gave us some information about the flood relief efforts that they continue to take on. On the 15th, I attended Career Day at the elementary school, which was super fun. And yesterday, I attended a regular chamber board meeting.
Good morning, everyone. On the week of May 5th through the 8th, I attended the Chamber of Commerce Restaurant Week, a great local event. On the 9th, I attended the Lincoln Street Makers Market on Lincoln Street, which was another great locals event and was packed. On 5/11, we started bulk trash pickup. I hope people took advantage of that. On the 12th, we canvassed the election results. Also on the 12th, I attended the Fredericksburg ISD incubator pitch event. Unbelievable event by high school students. There were six teams. Rockbox was packed, and they were pitching their concept, looking for investors. And it was a contest, one team won, but it was just a tremendous event. I think they had, Jim, do you remember how many students are in the class? Yes. 22. Next year, they already have 46 signed up for it, so they'll have two classes. Go online, look for it, and watch the event. It's about 2 hours long. It's incredible what these kids do. On the 13th, I attended the Chamber of Commerce Economic Summit. Great speakers. It was surrounding development, and they had some really good speakers of that. And then on the 15th, I attended the EDC meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. I also want to extend my deep appreciation to Gerald Hoover for his years of service and dedication. I use the term steady hand because he is the most effective administrator I've ever worked with. I also want to extend my deep appreciation to Emily Kirchner. She is not here today, but for her hard work and perseverance, she's one of the most prepared individuals I've ever served with. So I want to thank her. I also want to thank all candidates that step forward to serve their community. It's an honor to have you all step forward and do that. Thank you all. To our voters that participated, thank you for exercising this important civic duty. It's very important. As I enter this office, I know a couple things. I think I have a fair amount of knowledge, personal and professional experience, but I also know I don't know everything. And the one thing I will tell you is I have a great deal of confidence in our city staff. I would put our staff up against any corporate staff I've ever worked with, and I have a great deal of confidence. I also have a great deal of confidence in the depth and body of knowledge of these council members sitting up here as well. So I believe that the city will be in good hands. And my commitment is to work collaboratively across the board to protect, preserve, and advance Fredericksburg responsibly. So thank you for all of that. Now, Letty, I'll look to you for this, but there may be some folks here that are here for the swearing in, and I just want to be respectful of your time. You're welcome to stay. But if you'd like to conduct city business and stay here for that piece as well, you're welcome to do that. So anybody that's interested in leaving, you're more than welcome to, but you're also welcome to stay.
And then, Mayor, we can go ahead and move on to item 7A.
We have six consent agenda.
7A.
7A.
And that's the ordinance, so that we can get that out of the way.
Okay. Give them a second. So item 7A, ordinance resolution and public hearings, adoption of ordinance 2026-22, accepting the canvass and declaring the official results of the city general election of May 2nd, 2026. Do we have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. So go back to 6A. Okay, so we have a consent agenda of two items. 6A, consider approval of City Council minutes from the joint meeting with the Historic Review Board. And item 6B, consider approval of fiscal year 2027 budget calendar. These can be approved together or broken out separately. Council?
I make a motion we approve consent items 6A and B.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 7B, request Z-2608 by Clayton Wolvord, Rebecca Rather, and Brad Oler to consider the following. And I believe we're going to turn it over to our development director. Or do we have the presentation first?
Yes, we'll have a presentation by the applicant first, and then we'll follow up with staff comments.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and Council. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning. Anna Hudson with Landmark Planning and Development Advisors, here representing three property owners over on East Austin Street. This isn't exactly a new request, but it is new information, and it is a new request in the specifics of the zoning being requested. So you may be familiar with the properties, the property owners, and some background. There's obviously a lot of people here that are interested in this, and so what you have in front of you is actually an updated presentation. The one on file is from the P&Z meeting. I did do some updates based on the P&Z meeting so that you have the most accurate information in response to that. So I'm going to go through, if you'll follow along, what's actually in your packet. It's going to be the most up-to-date information. And I debated on how much information to give, knowing that there's two people that weren't at the last meeting, but knowing that you have some experience with this too, and knowing there's a lot of concern from the neighborhood on this request. So I'll go through it judiciously, but there's not a lot to cover. It's pretty simple, but there's a lot of emotions and feelings behind this. So I just want to make sure I say what needs to be said, and we'll try not to overdo it. Is somebody touching it? Okay. So ultimately, we are requesting C1 zoning. This is a new request for C1. C1's not been proposed before. And what we are asking is that City Council recognize that the commercial activity is there, and it exists, and we're just asking that you grant transition neighborhood zoning, right? This is a neighborhood zoning that is allowed by the comprehensive plan to be consistent with the East Austin District. We're not looking at spot zoning. We are looking at completing a missing link in an existing district. And again, as recommended by the comprehensive plan. Because Austin Street is already functioning as a higher intensity corridor, it's an edge, it's not the middle of a neighborhood, and it is different from the residential interior blocks, especially Schubert Street. And zoning should reflect the actual conditions and not just outdated labels. So one slide that you have in your packet is this one. Just a little bit, I mean, zoning in Fredericksburg didn't come around until the 1970s. Of course, this area was already established before that. Way before zoning existed, Fredericksburg was developed, the heart of Fredericksburg was developed as a true mix of uses. And then, right, we've come in and put zoning labels on these properties. And the biggest concern, I think, is like the 300 block of East Austin. We just had a brand new bakery open. We're in the middle of that block where you got a lot of restaurants, and that's all CBD zoning. And so all we're asking is the 400 block to be allowed to be a transition zone to protect the neighborhood behind it, but allow these property owners the same rights, similar rights, as other similarly situated properties. And what we're doing here is, I've showed a few properties. I think you're all familiar with it, right? So the property owners here, they back up to Schubert Street, all right? And these are the long, deep lots, the historic 100 by 200 lots. So those are really deep lots. The houses, of course, are set to the front with deep, deep lots. And then, of course, the same is true for Schubert Street, right? Those sit close to Schubert, and they're deep lots. So there's a big buffer built in between those. But these properties face Austin Street. Austin Street has CBD zoning to the middle of it, right? And they look at the Winchester Lodge. They look at the Velvet Lounge. They look at the new location for Brooks Bubble Bus. Okay, so they look at Main Street and all that commercial activity, and they hear it. They see it, and they hear it, and they live it every day. So what we're asking is to recognize that this is not a residential neighborhood anymore. Schubert Street is. We're not asking any changes for Schubert Street. We are asking for a transition zone. And this comes directly from the comprehensive plan, which was done in 2024. And if we back up to 2023, so you might hear from some citizens this evening or this morning that are concerned that this is the third bite at the apple. This is the third time these property owners have come with their money petitioning the city to do what the city has told them to do. So when they came in 2023, the city was in the middle of changing the STR ordinance. And Ms. Rather, one of the property owners, has lived in her house for two decades, and she has put up with every type of STR issue. I moved here 9.5 years ago, and I recall Ms. Rather at the dais asking for help from the council because of the STR issue. She was ringing the alarm bell way before the 2023 and 2024 ordinances were adopted. She never obtained a permit. She didn't want to be an STR. She wanted to live in a peaceful neighborhood. But things have happened around her, out of her control, and it's just not. It is not a. She's not in the middle of a neighborhood. She is on the edge, facing highly commercial activity. So, in 2023, they asked initially. I was the interim director at that time, and they came and asked for commercial zoning because Ms. Rather is a world-famous pastry chef, right? And she wanted to be able to open a pastry shop, a bakery in her converter home, which is, again, done just in the 300 block. At that time, there was a lot of concern over STRs. And so the 1.5 middle medium commercial was rejected, and council at that time said maybe R2. But then, and they got more of the block to come in. There are some people that are saying this is spot zoning because on either side we don't have the property owners. Initially in 2023, we worked with them, but we can't control property owners, you know, on either side. And circumstances have changed for those. I will say the property to the left, to the west, is a landmark. It is beautiful and pristine and park-like, and hopefully it remains that way. But what all we can control are these three properties that they have ownership of. And again, so looking at this completing a district, things have changed around these property owners outside of their control at the city's behest. And so they are now just asking to be recognized and make that change. And zoning and planning, we call it the Planning and Zoning Commission, those aren't two simultaneous processes. Zoning comes first, so then you can make a plan. And so we've had lots of zoning changes around them that have changed, but they have not. And so now they're just asking to be recognized so that they can then make a plan, all right? Mrs. Rather couldn't have a bakery. She was denied, so she couldn't plan. What can she do? It's hard to live there, so what options does she have? Well, so going back to what did the city do? The city adopted an STR ordinance and quelled the issue of the STR, right? There's no more bleeding out of the STRs into actual neighborhoods. I think we could all agree that Austin Street is an ideal location for an STR, converting an older house into a temporary stay, not a forever morning on the porch looking at Brooks Bubble Bus or the lodge across the street. So the city did its part, right? They took care of that big issue that was an underlying issue, a concern that they couldn't get their zoning the first time, okay? So STR activity has been regulated and tightened. And the other, if we look at the map, right, so the reason these types of things come to an administrative body and not just AI or not just at the staff level is because we can look at the zoning map and say, gosh, it makes sense. There's a creek there that provides a natural buffer. This makes sense that it stays part of the neighborhood. However, when we look at the actual location, we see that that creek does not create a buffer, right? And the reality is that you have, in the blue zoning, right, is the Nimitz, the reenactment zone, and then the Bush Gallery. And so these properties are literally sandwiched between one of the most popular destinations in town. We drive so many people here to visit, and locals alike. I went at the last reenactment. But you've got two highly visited points, and the only way to get there is to go down East Austin Street. And so we're looking for a recognition of that, okay? So we've got altered traffic patterns that the city did with TxDOT by closing northbound Washington, right? So now Washington is no longer southbound and two-way, it's only northbound. So what does that mean for people leaving the recently opened Albert Hotel? What does that mean for people leaving the Bush Gallery? It means they have to leave. They have to go down East Austin to get to Elk, to go back east. So the traffic pattern has changed, again, around these owners. They had nothing to do with it. They're sitting there, and everything's changing around them. So the traffic pattern has changed, increased tourism, and so there are people walking and people parking in front of their property, and they have no ability to interact with them, right? This is, in real estate terms, location, location, location. This would be an ideal shot or location for a light commercial use. All right. So also just noting that this body has increased funding to the the Nimitz and the National War Pacific Museum. And again, between the Bush Gallery and the reenactment zone. Otherwise, this is a dead block. So people are walking by, and there's not much to see or do, so they just have to get across as quickly as possible to the large parking area as well. There's a little bit of concern about, well, if you add more commercial. But again, we're talking about very light neighborhood commercial uses. All right, so those are, and then the last, following the city's lead, would be staff recommendation. So in 2023, they received a staff recommendation for the change. And then this most recent one, when they came with CBD zoning request a couple months ago, that was when I was not involved in that. So Mrs. Rather and Mr. Ayler and Mr. Wolvard came to the city staff and said, hey, we want to consider this rezoning again. And it was city staff's recommendation for the CBD because he looked at the comp plan, and the comp plan gives a list of things. So maybe not having known the backstory, right, I wouldn't have recommended that. And so when they got turned down at planning and zoning for the CBD request, that's when I stepped in and said, hey, guys, let me help you because I think you're trying the right thing. Maybe you got a little bit of bad advice on this round, but there's an option. Let's go to C1. All right, let's lower it. You're right. You're not R1. It's not R1 anymore. I think all reasonable minds can agree. You can walk that block and say, this is not the middle of a neighborhood. So what do we have to offer? CBD, C2, C1.5, C1. So they're asking for the bare minimum of neighborhood commercial. So on your page 7, again, following the city's lead, staff recommendation, and then what staff has cited in your packet is the future place type map, and this is the historic shopping district place type. So that's why we don't have to ask for a land use change, because we now have this new place type map, and the historic shopping district allows this type of zoning by right without a change. So looking at the comprehensive plan, which of course is your playbook, and that's what we're here playing by. We are playing by your playbook, the rule book that's been written, adopted, and given to us to play by. And it specifically says that house-scaled commercial and lodging uses are encouraged in neighborhoods adjacent to Main Street. It's exactly where these three houses are located, adjacent to Main Street, house-scaled commercial. All right? So this is language directly from the comp plan. And it does say, you know, you've got to look in there and analyze based on the area, based on the natural and man-made boundaries. So again, Schubert Street to the north is residential and remain that way. And any use would be a light commercial use. So then the other part of the comprehensive plan dealing with this part of town is that they create a city center section, right? And part of that, it designates East Austin District. Sorry, I wish we had my updated. I sent out an updated presentation. I found out this morning it was a little bit too late, but they have it. So the zoning, the downtown district, I just want you to see that it's on page 11, is the yellow, okay? And it's contiguous all the way to Lee Street, and we're the missing block on that. So what we're proposing is R1, which is a transition. By definition, by your zoning code, it's a transition type of commercial. So if we go to what happened at the planning and zoning meeting, the planning and zoning did recommend denial. It seemed there was the decision had been made before, and so they came with notes on how to define this as spot zoning. Spot zoning does not have a firm definition. It's one of those you know it when you see it, and so you would expect something that looked like a bullseye target, and this is not that. This is an edge. It's not the middle. This isn't Carriage Hills. This isn't Stone Ridge. This isn't the preserve. This is downtown. It's literally called the city center. It's called the historic shopping district. All the labels that the city has for this area recognize that it's not a neighborhood. I don't even know what the neighborhood name would be other than downtown or city center. So P&Z tried to make the suggestion that this was spot zoning. They said the subject property makes up a small parcel of property. Well, size doesn't constitute spot zoning. There are three separate property owners, and they petitioned for transition zoning. They said that no specific public benefit was presented. Well, the applicant is having to pay for the city to amend their own zoning ordinance to reflect their own comprehensive plan out of their time, out of their expense. And commercial properties, of course, pay higher property taxes, and then as they have businesses in them, they also pay sales taxes, which, of course, is very important to the city's budget. And there's no known, actual negative impact. So we live in a fear-based society, right? It's real easy to get a petition out and stir up the masses on a couple key phrases, right? But the reality is this is C1. What's allowed by right is very neutral. No obnoxious uses are allowed by right in C1. I think some of the neighbors maybe got caught up on maybe there could be a gas station. There cannot be a gas station here without your distinct approval. And I can't imagine, capitalism saying this is the best location for a gas station. So there's always fear, right? As humans, we want to say no. No to change, no to anything that's uncertain, and especially anything in my backyard. The third issue that P&Z brought up was the potential future, again, could have a negative impact on the neighborhood. But again, that was focused on the conditional use, not the by right uses. And then they said, not completely inconsistent with the comprehensive plan. The action was completely inconsistent with the comprehensive plan. You can recite the comprehensive plan multiple times, as I've already done for you. This is what is called for in this specific area, okay? And we're simply requesting the city's own established neighborhood commercial zone. If anything, it's reverse spot zoning, as I've mentioned earlier, because everything around these properties has changed, right? You've got CBDs to the west. You've got public facility, which I don't know if you guys realize that public facilities, they could build a 50-foot building in public facility by right, no questions asked. So you think it's blue and it's benign, but public facility has a lot of not-so-friendly uses that are allowed by right. Not saying that the Nimitz would ever do that, but again, if we're, scare tactics, scary, 50-foot. Looking at the zoning map, the blue in front, the creek, is confusing to you, to most people, because you think it's the creek, and if you took that out and actually realized that that's CBD zoning, you see how close it is, and it's literally across the street, and zoning does go to the middle of the road. So then if you took out the blue of the public facility and just colored that red and took out the creek, then you really can see. I think you guys can see that on page 19, a little bit better view of what's going on here. So it's not a spot zoning. Again, we're not in a sea of green where you've got red and other colors, mostly red, all around. CBD, the most intense commercial use with no setbacks, with the highest allowed building requirements and the most uses. So we're asking for a responsible transition zone. C1 provides controlled transition that protects residential areas while acknowledging existing commercial activity is already nearby. Okay? C1 zone is designed specifically to support small-scale, neighborhood-friendly uses, daytime uses, while protecting nearby residential areas. This is the language from your zoning code. If C1 is not appropriate here, if there are issues with your C1 zoning, please take that up, but don't hold these property owners hostage any longer. They have come multiple times amending their request at the behest of this board, but the reality is it's no longer R1. It's just not R1 anymore. I'm sure you'll hear from the neighbors, and that's great. It's so good that we have an engaged citizenry here. But this is, it's a chance to say no. I don't know what's going to come. I'm scared. Please don't let any change happen. The changes happen. Please acknowledge it and let these property owners move on and make plans for their properties. There are no set plans right now. Nobody has a house on the market. Nobody has a developer coming in wanting to make big changes. They're just putting their ducks in a row so they can make good, sound decisions in the future. The impact on Schubert Street will be addressed with the development standards. So each zoning category has two main functions, right? It tells you what you can do, and it tells you how you can do it. It dictates where a building has to be, how tall it can be, and the density. Okay, so these the neighborhood commercial setbacks are very similar. All of the development requirements for C1 are very similar to R1, okay? CBD was very different and wrong and inappropriate for this area. C1 is completely appropriate for this area. It is designed to protect this the neighborhood of Schubert. We're not asking for rezoning of Schubert. We're asking for rezoning of three properties on Austin Street. And what everyone here loves Fredericksburg and wants what's best, first for their own property, next for their what's behind them, and then the neighborhood. With a rezone request, it's natural to jump to a worst-case scenario and want certainty of what will happen. We can't predict the future in our capitalist economy, but we do have strong zoning standards to prevent bad things. We are all wired to resist change, but why we live in Fredericksburg, I've said this for a long time, we have really strong ordinances, and that's what protects. We have strong zoning, we have strong historic, we have strong ordinances, and this is another one. And this we're asking you to judiciously use your own adopted ordinance and comp plan for this request.
Okay, Anna, thank you. Okay. Any additional information there?
I think that is it, but happy to answer any questions. Two of the property owners are here if you have specific questions.
Well, you did bring up a slide on planning and zoning. I was at both sessions for CBD and C1 as well. You read part of a statement. It said, it was from one of the commissioners. It said, while not inconsistent with the comprehensive plans, it does go against the guiding principles of continuing to respect and enhance the livability of the surrounding areas. I hope I got all that correct, but I was looking for an answer there. Do you believe this is minimal impact for those that are residential? Is that your thought?
Absolutely. And okay. The one I wanted to show the
You don't have to. I just want to know the answer.
Yeah, because the main thing is if you look at page 24. All right. So again, we're not talking about big things. We're talking about three properties that back up to current SDRs.
Understood.
Look at all the green space. Look at the position of the houses on Schubert Street. Look at the position of the houses on Austin Street. We're talking about over 100 feet in between them.
Okay.
So there's built-in existing protection distance. And then if and when in 15 years somebody wants to redevelop it, the zoning, that's the buildable area right there. Okay. So there's built-in protection.
Well, thank you. I want to get to the sure. Folks that sent letters. Thank you, Anna. Okay, so we'll move into a presentation by staff. So, Cliff?
Yes. Thank you, Mayor, and welcome to you and the new council members. And you're going to find I'm never easy when I bring cases to you. But so we'll follow up. I know there was an extensive presentation by the applicant. I think I just want to follow up on some of the specifics in what took place at the planning and zoning meeting last month. As we know, this is an application to rezone the properties at 408, 412, and 414 East Austin from a single-family residential to a neighborhood commercial. As the applicant had indicated, this has come before you before. I believe back in 2023, they asked for the C15 medium commercial, and then about 2 months ago, they came before you as part of the CBD district. One thing I want to preference, and I heard the applicant touch on it, zoning comes first. That is not true. Zoning does not come first. That's why you have your place types and your land use and your comprehensive plan. That's what dictates the action that you need to take
today and what dictates the recommendation that come from your Planning and Zoning Commission, and they did a very good job in looking at the findings of fact. So what's changed since 2023 is you have a new comprehensive plan. The 2024 comprehensive plan identified the historic shopping district as a new place type. It replaced the old land use. So what does that mean? That means that identifies appropriate underlying zoning classes. And the Central Business District and the C1 were both identified as an appropriate zoning class. We'll never refute that. We'll never have a problem with that. That's what your comprehensive plan says. But anytime you consider a request and the Planning and Zoning Commission considers a request, there are a series of findings of fact that you must evaluate. Just putting a rezoning on the map based on a place type doesn't suffice. You have to determine whether the negative impact of the traffic, whether the use operations negatively impact the surrounding properties. We're always tasked with protecting the not only the property owner who's making the request, but the surrounding property owners, right? We can't have an illegal taking of their rights as well. And that's what the Planning and Zoning Commission considered here. And they felt like that based on those findings of fact, that this would be a detrimental rezoning to that property that could negatively impact those properties. So during the meeting, the Planning and Zoning Commission did consider the facts of the case. And based upon that, they recommended denial of the request from R1 single family residential to C1 neighborhood commercial by unanimous 8-0 vote based on the findings of fact, which were identified in your staff report. And as you'll see on that, in that staff report, they recommended denial based on the subject property makes up a small parcel of property. They felt like that there was no specific public benefit presented. They felt like the potential future use of C1 zoning could have a negative impact on the surrounding neighborhood area. And as the applicant indicated, although they felt like it wasn't completely inconsistent with the comprehensive plan, they felt like that the rezoning would go against the guiding principles to respect and enhance the livability of the vicinity, which is brought up by the various neighboring property owners that have come out and expressed their concerns. So based upon that, they made a recommendation of denial by a unanimous 8-0 vote, which means that there would need to be a supermajority to overturn any recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission. And I know we have received multiple protest letters, and I want to clarify, those protest letters come in and that 20% threshold comes in, but nothing changes. Your P&Z did not make a recommendation of approval, which means to overturn it, you still have to have that supermajority vote. So staff would be happy to answer any questions that you have. I can reference back to the 2023 case. I can discuss spot zoning with you. I think you have a legal memorandum from our legal staff. When you look at spot zoning in the planning world, I don't know if there is a clear definition of spot zoning, which goes back to your findings of fact. You have to look at each case individually. You have to determine whether or not is detrimental to the neighboring property owners. When you make that consideration, that's why we go through the findings of fact. And that allows us to be more consistent in our recommendations and ultimate decisions. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have at this point.
Any questions, Council?
I don't have any questions.
Okay. With that, I will open to a public hearing, and I think I'll take these in order. So Kathleen O'Neill. Kathy O'Neill.
Representative.
Okay. You sent a letter in opposing?
Yes, I sent a letter in. Did you get
it? I do have a letter. I didn't know if you wanted to add to it. You don't need to, but.
I think it says what I want to say.
Okay. Fair enough. Also, Jay Brayden as well, a protest letter. I don't know if anybody else has additional color or commentary there.
I'm here.
Would you like to speak?
I don't need to add anything.
Okay. If you don't need to add anything, that's perfectly fine. Okay. I don't know if I can read this next one. Emeralda. Am I pronouncing that right? No. Probably not. But there's also a protest letter here from her. Lori Cassidy. as well. If anybody's here that wants to speak on behalf of this, please raise your hand. Okay, so you'd like to speak regarding this? Okay. Go ahead. Come on up. Go ahead.
And that is wonderful, and they vote. So congratulations to the people who won the election. In my mind, this is a very simple, but I'm not sitting in those chairs where you have to make the decision. You have a piece of property that is no longer a house. She sits, and if she has coffee in her front yard, people are constantly walking by. Constantly walking by. The sidewalk is a throughway. She always has cars in front of the house, constantly. On the weekends, it is always full. You cannot sit there and say that that is a residence. That is one half block from Main Street. It is the business district. You're also right down the street from three restaurants. Then you've got the Nimitz, and then the other Nimitz. Okay, so you have a piece of property that the people that have suffered through the people walking in front should be able to get the recommendation of commercial so that they're able to sell it for the money that commercial sells for. Will this impact all of the people who wrote the protest letter? I don't think so. They don't own that house. They don't sit there every morning. They live in residences like I do on Center Street. Now, if it comes up and they want to redo the property next to us on Llano, am I going to be in front of you complaining? Possibly, but it depends upon what is going there. I know that Llano is a commercial such street. I live a half a block from Llano. All you have to do is sit and listen to the traffic. The town is getting busier. Can you stop change? No. Can you control it? That's your job. And I appreciate the fact that you do that job because it's not easy. Thanks for what you do, and I think you should consider that the residents deserve to be paid back for what they put up with as the cities continue to grow.
Thank you. We do have a stack of letters. Is there anyone else who would like to speak for or against this matter? Mr. Graham.
My name is Graham Pearson. I'm a resident of the city. I'd like to point out that traffic density, either vehicular or pedestrian, cannot be used as a basis for zoning change. I think the people on Travis suffer from a much heavier load of vehicular traffic. But are they here to ask for a C1 change? No. We have a very heavy pedestrian traffic on Moore Street. We would not dream of coming before you and asking for a zoning change. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Well, good morning, Honorable Mayor and City Council, and congratulations to newly elected positions. My name is Shelley Messer. My husband and I own 413 East Schubert. We sit directly behind and adjacent to one of the applicants. Our house is not at the front of the property. We sit towards the back of the property. From my garage, I can see into 412 East Austin. We are in opposition. So I'm going to touch on a couple of things this morning. Y'all should probably have received my husband's letter. He's at Mark Messer's commercial broker. And he went over several things that I won't have time to go over today. But yes, this is about zoning. The zoning request continues to be spot zoning as it seeks to apply a commercial designation to properties within an estimate established R1 residential neighborhood. Our neighborhood includes not only Austin Street, that shivered as well. As I said, in the back of our house, I can see straight into 412 G's backyard. We've had chickens visit us from 408. We are part of the neighborhood. We would be directly impacted by changes. And it's under my understanding in Texas, as we briefly touched about, and I touched on, that it is highly controversial because it disrupts neighborhood cohesion for the benefit of specific property owners. There is a lack of buffering. So unlike west of Washington, we don't have that buffer. And converting these lots would negatively alter the residential character of Shewhart. And there would be commercial noise, of course, involved. A shift to commercial would introduce dumpsters were typically placed at the rear properties. So dumpsters tend to bring increased noise, odors, and rodents. Furthermore, commercial waste collection often occurs in early mornings, which would significantly disrupt the peace of the surrounding residents. In P&Z, there were several inaccuracies made by the applicants, including she said there was an alley between Elk and Washington. There's not an alley. She didn't mention it today, though. We have a private drive that extends from the back of our property, that is our property, to Elk Street. We face Shewhart. You should have a copy of that in your survey. It's right in the dead. You'll see it backs up to these properties. Additionally, the applicant stated that surrounding homes are primarily short-term rentals, and this is also untrue. In fact, 7 of the properties are not SDRs. Of the 11 property owners notified about the zoning change, 7 opposition letters were submitted. This represents roughly 70% opposition rate from the immediate neighbors. While the applicants may not view this as a traditional neighborhood, I think she called it a dead neighborhood, it is about 4 blocks, about a 4-block area. It's a great neighborhood. We ask that you take these factors and the significant neighborhood opposition into serious consideration. Approving this rezoning would promote favoritism and cause lasting disruption to our neighborhood. We urge you to deny this request. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Any additional comments from either side? Okay. I'll take us out of public hearing and ask. Did I see somebody? Okay.
I'd filled in an application to be speaking this morning, but there's no way that this proposal should pass. We're talking spot zoning any way you want to look at it. In the past, we've not allowed it. And once you start a precedent, you've created something that it is really impossible for you to rectify. You've started something that you may not want to start. We're told that not all the owners of the property on these 3 lots are residents of Fredericksburg. And so I'm not sure why we would want to take care of this, because the only concern I would see that is that, and as we're already remarked on, is that we have if you raise the.
I was going to see one. You're inviting a higher level of zoning, and then makes a higher price much better. And who knows if it could go into those spots. When we looked at the city plans a couple weeks ago at a zoning meeting, Mr. Musselman talked about how Town Creek makes a great barrier on the zoning maps, especially like right in front of where they plan to be. And I agree. So we already have a barrier there. And I ask that you deny Z2608.
Thank you, sir. Any additional comments? So I'll take this out of public and ask Council for any additional comments or commentary or questions. With that, I'll simply make a comment. The one thing that does concern me is, and I agreed with planning and zoning is a domino effect that may potentially take place and see a loss of residential as we get busier, and we will get busier for sure. But I think my position is I'm not in favor of this. So I'll ask for a motion.
Make a motion or somebody else?
To deny or approve?
I make a motion to deny 7B.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any disagreements or denials? Motion is denying Z2608 as stated. Thank you. Moving on to item 8A, elect Mayor Pro Tem for 2026-2027 term. City Secretary?
I make a motion. We nominate Bobby Watson as Mayor Pro Tem.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any disapprove?
There's a raise there, Bobby, for you.
Motion carries. Welcome, new Mr. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you very much. It's an honor.
Item 10A, future items. I'll turn it over to our city manager.
Mayor, I think we...
I apologize. I jumped ahead. Go back to 9A. I apologize.
There you go.
Jim, that's the second time you've got jumped. I apologize.
Well, third time's a charm.
thank you for your patience.
Oh, no worries. So before I start, congratulations, Mayor Briley, Councilmember Klein, and Neffendorf for serving our community again. So personally and professionally, to me, anybody who steps up to serve a community deserves a lot of recognition and appreciation. So thank you for stepping up to serve our community. The presentation on quarter one, well, we're almost down to quarter two being over right now, so I'm going to add some updates to the presentation that's in your packet. So Q1 programs and events, I'm not going to read these. You all can see that on the slide up there, but that was in quarter one. NPS is a net promoter score, and that is a score that we use to manage how the people are recognizing our events and programs that we have. So a 63 is a very good score. Anything over, I believe, 85 is world class. My former company, Four Seasons Hotels, has an NPS score of 45. HEB has an NPS score in the low 50s, so I'm comfortable that we're playing in the 60s, but our goal is to get into the 70s before the end of the year. A little bit of stats. When I put this together for quarter one, we were 659 active members. We've since cleaned up our CRM, and also we had some memberships that were quite old and hadn't been updated. So we have an updated number now of 618 members. So 388 bronze members, 87 nonprofit currently, 48 silver, 36 gold, 2 platinum, 4 diamond. We have 23 individual and 30 affiliates. So far this year, we've had 42 drops, and we brought in 50 new members as of yesterday. We also did a survey of our members. So it's not surprising. They're of membership, 59 are in wineries, 58 in retail, 52 restaurants. I want to hang on to that home improvement at 49, because also construction's at 48. So if you combine construction and home improvement into the same category, that's our leading number of members in the chamber. Some more stats. Our fingerprinting and background checks. Last year we did close to 1,900 background checks. After the first quarter, we were at 500, but now we're close to 800 sessions already. Recently, St. Mary's School had required all of their teachers to be background checked through fingerprints, so they've been slowly moving through the process. The top positions for getting those background checks are daycare, license to carry, and education. Apartments. We track apartment occupancy each quarter. In 2025 year-end, we were at 93.4% occupancy in 1,400 units, and you could see at the end of 2023, we were 98% occupancy with 827 units, so we've effectively absorbed the new inventory. Currently, Barron's Park only has 2 vacant units out of 86, and the 1846 unit apartment complex only has 4 vacant units out of 234.
one of our favorites, sales tax. So 2025 versus 2024. So this is the calendar year, not a physical year measurement. So the calendar year 2025 versus 2024, we dropped 1.2%. And that equates to $2 million of gross taxable revenue that was lost in 2025 versus 2024. But remember, in 2025, we had the fire in March, and then we had the flood in July that affected those numbers. But the surprising thing to me was last December, of that 2 million drop, 700,000 of it came just in the month of December. So December was an off month for our economy. Going forward, quarter one, 2026.
Quick question, if you don't mind. On 25, the city was at what, 9.5, is that correct? Sales tax?
I don't have that breakdown here. I just have the total.
Okay. Thank you.
For that. So quarter one, 2026, we've come back. So quarter one, 2026, we are up 4%. We're 2.3 million versus 2.2 million. 2026 versus 2025 for Fredericksburg. Gillespie County is up 2.3%. They were at 1.1 million, up about 200,000. Combined, it was up 3.4%. So taxable gross revenue in Fredericksburg grew to 1.4 million from 1 million a year before for quarter one. So we saw a good rebound in quarter one on sales tax. Most of that came in March. March was up 6.3% for Fredericksburg, and Gillespie County was up 7.7%. But also to keep in mind, if we take 2024 out of there and we took 2025, we take 2026 versus 2024, the city was up 1.3%, and over 2023, we're up 10%. So 21, 22, 23 were strong years, but now we're back to beating those post-pandemic years when we had those strong sales tax years coming through. GDP for Gillespie County, from 2024 to 2019, we have a 51% growth in GDP. And so we grew from 2024 over 2023, we grew 6%. I would say that 2025 growth will be flat. We're always about 2 years behind on these reports for GDP because of we had the eclipse in 2024, 2025, we had the fire and the flood, so I don't see much of a GDP growth in there. But the thing that I think is important for understanding the GDP, the split between services and production stayed the same. So your services, finance, hospitality, IT, healthcare, retail, stays at 75% of the GDP. And the production, which is manufacturing, construction, ag, forestry, fishing, and hunting, stays in at 18 to 20%. So even though the numbers are going up, the percentages are staying the same from the different sectors. Those two numbers don't add up to 100% because I excluded government from this calculation. So it takes out the city government and the county government, which is also included in the overall GDP number. Another number that surprised me, household income in Gillespie County. We have a 35% growth from 2024 to 2020. 2020, we were 64,000 household income, and in 2024, we were at 87,000. During that period of time from 2020 to 2024, Texas was flat in their household income growth.
Just a question, is that folks moving in? What are your thoughts around that increase?
It's a combination of folks moving in, but also if you look at the it's mostly folks moving in, but also if you look at retailers, restaurants, during that period of time and the post-pandemic, the competition for employees drove up salaries and drove up wages.
Okay.
So I think that's a big chunk of it there. But the good news is we grew, the state didn't. We also did a member survey in the first quarter. 80% were satisfied or very satisfied. The benefits that they see from the chamber, number one, networking, events and programs, advocacy and resources. The number one attended program is golf, and second is fun after five, and then the Christmas parade. And what's interesting about the survey that we did, 43% of the members have been part of the chamber for 10 or more years, and 43% are under 3 years. So that middle sector is where we're losing our memberships. So 10% were in the 4 to 6 year range. So one of the things we're learning is that once we get above that 5-6 years, the retention pretty much stays there. But where we need to do better in the chamber is retaining new members for a longer period of time.
So the members requested more education. They want industry-specific groups, and they want the lower-tier members to have more promotion for them. So to promote those lower members, we have a member spotlight every Monday in our social media feed. So we pick two or three members in the bronze level, and we highlight them in our social feeds. Our strategic opportunities from the membership survey: reaffirm and communicate the core mission, expand educational industry, improve member visibility, strengthen retention plan for new members. The other piece that came out of the survey was that in the past, the chamber got involved in how do we solve the housing problem? How do we solve the childcare problem? And those issues seem to be taken care of or getting better at this point in time. So we believe our focus should be on the small businesses in the community. So how do we help our small businesses get to that fifth year when the success rate of those businesses increases dramatically? So we're moving our focus to how do we help the small businesses improve in their first 5 years. So we're working with the Small Business Administration out of University of Texas, San Antonio, to put together education programs for that. We also started some new program and member support. We worked with the merchants on Lincoln Street to do the market on May 9th. We've had 31 responses from the attendees, the exhibitors. 78% they rated us as excellent. 55% that their sales were very successful. One of the attendees said that she sold took in more revenue that day than she does 3 days at Fredericksburg Trade Days. So most of the 78% of the exhibitors were very happy with it. 100% said they would return. Quarter two events, the LGC class raised $35,000 for Caritas with their barbecue and also from their donation from the Hill Country Foundation. State of the Berg, we sold out. We have a leaders breakfast coming up June 3rd, and that'll be the fire chief, police chief, and sheriff. For that, June 1st, we will start taking LGC 2027 class applications. It says June 15th in there, but we're actually moved it up to June 1st. The hospitality training was through the Culinary Institute of America, and we've actually canceled that program now for financial reasons. They're quite expensive to work with. I want to jump over to the Food and Wine Festival. We reorganized our 501c3 board for the Fredericksburg Chamber of Commerce Events Foundation. We appointed Julie Herbert as chair, Tachi vice chair, Beth secretary. You can read all of those. The name you may not know is Angela Enright. Angela is a new resident here in town. She had significant experience in hospitality PR in Dallas, Texas. So we brought her in to join the board to help us with our PR efforts to build the Food and Wine Festival into a national brand. And I want to say that even though we're going after that national recognition is more to drive Texans into the Food and Wine Festival. It's not necessarily to pull people from around outside of Texas into it. We also have excellent support from the CVB this year. So they budgeted $25,000 to bring in 6 to 8 national food and beverage journalists during the Food and Wine Festival in October. And we talked about the new board. Just finished Restaurant Week. 4 out of the 5 events sold out. We sold 525 tickets for that. We had 8 live interviews on 3 different channels across the Hill Country. We also had a special mention in Dallas for that. And we're requesting stats from the CVB so we can understand what the visitation was during that period of time. Preview week is coming up June 21 to 25. Those tickets will go on sale June 9th. You can see there the list of the events that we'll be holding during that week. Festival week will be October 21 to 24. Opening party at Contigo Ranch. Continue with the street dinner on Austin Street, Grand Tasting and Mark Plotz, and then brunch at Das Peach House. Any questions?
I had heard from some Main Street owners that there was a special program that they were being charged, like $2,000 to be a membership. Is that still ongoing? Or?
As far as I know, that was never in place from the chamber.
I was told it's from the chamber. They had to pay $2,000 for special events. Or
was that a Main Street retailers?
No, I was told that it was coming from the Chamber of Commerce. Now, I got it from one of the Main Street owners.
Yeah, it's news to me.
There's no such animal out there? Okay, thanks. Now,
there could be, I doubt it could be related to this, but we're now learning, because we closed down Lincoln Street for that market, and then we closed down Austin Street between Washington and Lincoln for the street party for Restaurant Week. And so both the chamber and the city, we're learning how to close streets that are not next to mark plots. And so it adds a different set of problems for that. Also, in negotiations with the city, it became clear that we needed to pay to have that street blocked off. So Austin Street, when we closed it for the street dinner, the chamber paid the cost to have that street closed off. So that was $3,000 to have that street closed off.
Okay, thanks.
Council, any additional questions? Okay. Jim, thank you for being flexible with rescheduling. I appreciate it.
I'll see you in 2 months.
All right. Item 9B, presentation by Native Plant Society, has been pulled and will be rescheduled, I understand. Moving to item 10A now, so our city manager.
Okay. Mayor, Council, first of all, congratulations, Mayor Briley. Councilmember Neffendorf and Klein and Bobby Watson, looking forward to working with all of you. So really hitting the ground running, June 2nd, pretty full agenda. We have leading off a proclamation for the 250th birthday and anniversary of America, CVB report, quarterly update, and introduction of the new CVB CEO, Lisa Oliveira. These quarterly reports are something that we're trying to do, trying to be consistent with the chamber, the CVB, and the EDC. So you'll see those on the agenda. Professional services contract for a water line rehab on North Lano Street. We have the 2026 water supply and future weather outlook. This is what we call the state of the city. Water address that we give every year. It's a joint presentation between city staff and the Underground Water District. We typically do this a little bit earlier and use this as the barometer to set the watering stage before we get into the hotter months. Doing it a little bit later for the new council member benefit, and we've been getting a little bit of rain, so not quite as critical at this point, but looking forward to that presentation. We have an amendment to the LCRA wholesale power supply agreement. Rotary Club, a couple of items. Presentation for musical play instruments on market plots. And then also their 16th annual Kraut Run request for a street closure. Oktoberfest 2026 request for street closure. Consideration of board and commission appointments. We'll have a few of those, and then also a possible workshop, and I'll be talking to the council members, mayor and council individually, about when best to do this workshop. We have a pretty lengthy regular council agenda on the 2nd, so I'll be talking to you to get your thoughts on having a follow-up workshop after the regular meeting, where we will kick off the budget and talk very high level about everything from department needs to sales tax performance, property tax history, things like that. It might make sense to have a council orientation following that meeting versus get into any kind of details regarding budget discussions. But again, I'll talk to the council, mayor and council, and get feedback from you all on what you'd like to do there. Another regular meeting coming up June 16th. As was mentioned earlier, we'll have a presentation from the Native Plant Society for a Main Street demonstration, native plant demonstration project that they're proposing. Moving on to other meetings. Today we have a City Hall open house and ribbon cutting from 3 to 6. Come on out, take a look at the new facility. I think you'll be pleased with what you see. Again, 3 to 6 today. Citizen University coming up. May 26th in the Klein Room. We'll have Parks and Rec and special events. June 5th, annual employee picnic, 5 p.m. Pioneer Pavilion. The entire council is invited to attend. And then again, in that June-July timeframe, and I'll be visiting with you that budget kickoff. I know the council has a couple of special items you'd like to consider for that meeting as well. So more to come on that. Be happy to answer any questions.
Councilor Good. Okay, it is 10:20. We are going to step into executive session and discuss items 11A through D. Thank you all.
11:55. We have concluded with the executive session with no action being taken.
Item 12, any additional conversation or city business? I conclude that this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.